Now, normally when the pastor preaches, I think this is comparable to the IV when you go to the hospital. You put your arm right there, and they put you that thing, and then it's dropping little by little, right? Well, the message, and our message or so, is just like dropping little by little. The word is coming little by little. Now, I'm ready to give you a shot. It will be very quick, but I hope that this will be very useful to you as it was. I mean, it had been a blessing to me, and I hope it will be a blessing to you as well. So please open your Bibles in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Beginning in verse 13. 2 Samuel 23. Verse 13 through 16. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time and to the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one will give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he will not drink thereof, but pour it out unto the Lord. Now, I would like for you to see the situation. You may recall that David was, when he was small, he was playing and running around the streets with other friends when he was small in Bethlehem, right? And now he's thirsty, looking down to Bethlehem in that cave, and he's remembering, no doubt, he's remembering his old time. When he was thirsty, he went to that well and got some water from there and refreshed himself just to be ready to go on playing. And again, a year and another year, a month and another month. You can imagine this situation very easily, right? Now, here we have David. He's thirsty. He remembers all these things, but he's unable to get down to the well. So this is why he's saying, "Oh, I would like to have that water right now. How I long for that water." But the other thing we can imagine is these three mighty men, they came to visit David. And they were just visiting him in the cave where he was, and they heard David's desire, the king's desire. Now, as we read in the Bible, God's word, what they did, as soon as they heard that, they were ready to go. Ready to go. Maybe they say to each other, "Let's go and take water for the king." And they say, "Let's go. Come on." And it says here that, "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out to the well." And I can imagine them with the swords, mighty men, ready for anything, getting there and say, "Listen, we are not coming here to fight, but you're going to allow us to get some water from the well, from that well. Is it okay?" "Okay." And they drew water for the king. Now, why do you think they did it so spontaneously and got water from there? Because they love their king. Very simple, right? They love their king so much, they don't need... Listen, somebody will say to the other, I mean, some of these soldiers, one of them at least, they could say, hey, just a moment. I am not going to put my life in danger just for a cup of water for the king, okay? You got that?" But none of them say that. They were ready to go because all three, they love so much their king. But let me go to the second point. Somebody said that when you get a sermon with 3 points, you get the perfect sermon. Right, Pastor? So I got it. 3 points. Second point, they did not need a command. This is something to look at, to pay attention to. They did not need a command. Some of them, they could say, listen, I'm a soldier. Since he is not commanding me to go, I am not going. I will only obey when he tells me to go. Because being a soldier, I can say no. I am here to obey him. If he tells me, go and take me water, I will go. But since this is not an order, why should I go? You're right. But none of them, they say that. Now, let me tell you, there are some Christians that they look at the Bible, the Greek and the declensions and all the things, and Hebrew and everything, and they say, well, I didn't find anything, any place that that says I can do that, I cannot do that, so I am going and do it. I'm going to do it. Because the Bible does not say anything about this. But there are some other also in the other side that they look at the Bible and look so closely with big glasses, you know, and say, hey, just a moment. There is a word here in Hebrew or in Greek is telling you that you cannot do that. So you say, well, sorry, but I can do it because it seems that there is a word there that says. But listen, dear people, we should not look at the Bible in that way. Never. We have to look beyond the commands. Let me explain you this. Will you come please with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5? Chapter 5 of Matthew 5. Let's see, for instance, verse 21. If you stop in verse 17, the Lord is telling us, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. But later on, in verse 21, we read here, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you. Now, what is the Lord trying to tell us here? What is he telling us here? Is he going to tell us, listen, I know the command is this, but I'm going to tell you otherwise. Was he saying that? I'm going to tell you that this, you had to add something to the command. No. He's not trying to tell us this, but he's trying to teach us something that is much more than just the words of the command. It's the heart of God. And it says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now the Lord is trying to tell us there is much more than you shall not kill. If you really want to please God, don't stop just not killing. There is much more that he is waiting for you to do. It's not just the words. Let me go to other instance here, 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. What the law says? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, well, Lord, what are you going to tell us now? It's clear. The command is clear. We don't need any explanation more. Yes, you need, the Lord will say. You need more. You need to know the heart of God on this. And then he said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is in the sight of God. God gave us the commands. But if we really want to please God, we should go beyond the command. We should look beyond the command to please God. And there are many people just waiting for commands only. And they don't have too much interest in trying to fulfill God's desire, just obeying the commands. Well, this is a wrong spirit, I believe. Now, you can, there are six more instances here, but the time is, I mean, there's a way that we can stop this clock. No way. Anyway, there are some more. I mean, verse 33, 20, 38. Well, anyway, you can read it at home. There are some more. But I say unto you. Now, those people, going back to the text we read at the beginning, these people, they were this kind of people that they will say, your wishes, king, are my commands. I need commands to obey you, but I want to please you beyond the commands. And this is the attitude we should have before the Lord. And then, just quickly, my third point. Why, how in the world these three mighty men heard the king's desires? This is very easy. You can find it out. Can you help me? What? I should say more than that, because you can imagine the troops. They were there waiting for orders. And at any moment, David said, let's go. And they will raise up and ready to march. And they will hear. Yes, they heard, but it's another thing even better than that. They were close enough to the king to hear his desires, you see? Now, there are bunches of people today, I'm talking about Christians, that they say, I know God's will for my life. You know, there are some young people here. Listen, young people, listen to this. This is for you. Some people, you can imagine a young lady, and we all, even we have this great hair. We have been young someday, you know. Long ago, but but you can imagine a young lady telling the mom and daddy, listen, I found out that the man I'm going to marry, I know this is God's will for me. Does it sound to you, parents, some of you? Or maybe the boy says the same thing. I got the lady, young lady I want to marry, and I know this is God's will for me. Let me ask you one thing. If this was true, how in the world do we find so many divorces among the Christians? You know the answer? They don't have any clue of God's will. This is the problem. But you can apply this to many other things, not just for the young kids. I mean, your boys and girls. Some people go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I think it's God's will for me to leave the church. We're going to move to another place, another area, because I am going to make more money. And the pastor said, are you sure? Oh, yes, I know this is God's will for me. And then the pastor ask you, well, have you found a good church in that area? I said, well, no, we'll find something. Excuse me, you don't know God's will for you. Amen. And I said, you can find many other examples. My time is gone. I had to finish. But just think about, we should love our king as they love their king. Yes. We should obey him beyond the commands as these people did with David. Yes. And we had to walk close to him to be able to hear God's desires. Maybe if you get close to him, you will hear him saying, I wish you will be a missionary. I wish that you will be a full-time servant to me. I wish you will be a Sunday school teacher to help. I wish that you help more to the pastor, deacons here. I mean, so many things, if you get closer to him, that you will never be able to hear if you are far away. Yes, you're still being a Christian. It's true. You don't lose your salvation. It's true. But then you don't have any idea of God's desires for you. Get closer to him, brother, and may God bless you.